Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and, through the internet, deliver it to you. Today's message is part one of a four-part series entitled Don't Be Nice, and today's message is specifically entitled Don't Be Nice, Be Kind, based off of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 32. Let us dive into the Word today. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Amen. I grew up in the church. I was taught in Sunday school and in church in general that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That Jesus loves me unconditionally, and that the church is the place to experience Jesus' love. Going to church is a fundamental, vital part of being a Christian. And not just going to church. That's kind of how I grew up understanding it. But my mom and dad would always remind me, as would my Sunday school teachers, that I am the church. You are the church. We are the church together. All of God's people all around the world. Yes, we're the church. Together. I'm sure if you grew up in the church, you remember that song. So we were taught that the church was more than just this building and the space that we worship in, but that church was a part of being Christian, that we are a part of the body of Christ. And that is where we learn about Jesus' love. That is where we grow in our faith. And that is where we get to be a part of what God is doing in the world. That church is the place to experience Jesus' love. How? By learning more about who Jesus is, by growing in my faith, and the encouragement and fellowship with other Christians that I would experience as being a part of the church. And that is what I was taught to believe and expect from the church as a young boy. I was also taught that Christians help to encourage and build each other up, not tear each other down. That is the fundamental purpose of a Christian. We're to build each other up. We're to encourage one another. We're to love one another. We're to walk beside one another. Now, my parents did let me know that sometimes love corrected people. It isn't always warm and fuzzy. My parents weren't naive, like, let's all hold hands, and skip down the yellow brick road. And any of us who have been children, and that's all of us, we know that when we do something wrong and need to be corrected, our parents, out of love, will correct us. But they correct us so that they can build us up into better people. They never correct us in a way that is meant to bring us down or destroy us or ruin us, if they're good parents. Love never quelled the spirit, nor sought to destroy. That is what we were always taught. Love always seeks to build up and encourage, never seeks to quell the spirit or seeks to destroy another person. Now, sadly, as I grew up, my beliefs were challenged. Sure, many of the Christian kids I went to church with were nice to me, especially at church. Some were even nice to me at school. But few actually hung out with me or counted me among their friends outside of church. There was Sunday at church when they'd say, "Hey, Todd, how are you doing?" and then walk by. And then there were every other day of the week. There was every day, other day of the week where they'd pass me in the hallway with barely even looking at me, let alone saying hi to me. Or if they did say hi to me, they certainly wouldn't go out of their way to invite me to sit at their lunch table with them. Or come to my house to play, or invite me over to their house to play with them. I was a church acquaintance at best, truth be told. Again, most of those kids were nice to me. We've all had people be nice to us, haven't we? We've had people play nice in certain circumstances. Perhaps a boss at a public function who's nice to you and to others while there, but is ruthless when you're working under him. Or perhaps a family member at a funeral who makes nice small talk with you, but then doesn't want anything to do with you outside of such events. Or maybe another kid whose parents around, you know? The parents around, they act all sweet, but when the parents aren't there, the bullying monster that the kid is comes out. We've all had people play nice in certain circumstances, only to show their true colors when those circumstances pass. We've also had to be nice when we didn't necessarily want to. I'm sure this is true. We've all been in situations where we wanted to have words with someone who has hurt us or been rude to us, but instead, we put on a forced smile and found the politically or socially correct thing to say in response. Of course, us pastors, we're like fish. We don't have feelings. We never get hurt by people's words. All kidding aside, even I as a pastor have those moments where I am hurt and being nice because it seems like the right and pastorly thing to do. We all have those moments. Friends, I want you to hear this. Being nice is a human reaction. It can be genuine. It can be well meant and intentional and genuine, but it can also be fake, faux, false. Being nice is a human reaction. But being kind is a reflection of God. If you have ever read your Bible, you know that people in the Bible aren't often treating each other the right way. And we can think of tons of stories in the Bible where people are just being downright mean, wicked, and evil. We can think of Sodom and Gomorrah with the crowd of people from the city who want to rape the guests there because, well, that's just what they want to do. Why treat the guests nice? Why show hospitality? We just want to have our way with them. And we can remember other stories of people being mistreated in the Bible. We can think of Esther, who's practically taken as, well, not practically, she was taken as a sex slave. We can think of countless people who are mistreated in the Bible. Jesus himself was mistreated and by people who would rather do things their way than God's way. So if you've ever read your Bible, you know that people in the Bible aren't often treating each other the right way. In today's scripture, Paul was writing to a church that for whatever reason wasn't getting along. And he outlined the vision for what life in Christ meant. Paul instructed his church, and his churches, I should say, that they needed to go much further than just being nice. In fact, and I want you to mark this down, make a mental note, whatever, being nice is not a biblical requirement. Never in the Bible will you ever hear God say, "Thou shalt be nice to people." Never will you hear Jesus say, "And I give you a new commandment, be nice to one another." There's never in anywhere in the Bible, never a command from God, from Jesus, from anyone saying, you must be nice. It's not a biblical requirement. In fact, God wasn't always nice, nor was Jesus. Think of God chastising David after he sinned, or Jesus angrily overthrowing the temple money changers' tables. But with that said, both God and Jesus are kind. They are kind. Paul is calling us to put being nice aside. He's telling us don't, just don't. Don't be nice. Be kind. Don't be abusive, foul, or hurtful with your language, but let your words be an encouragement to others. Don't bring sorrow to the Holy Spirit by the way you behave and or live. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, all types of evil behavior. Paul instead instructs us, and I quote, "Be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you." And here's how this applies to you in your lives. God is calling you to move beyond your human reactions, which often guide your interactions. Christ hasn't called you to be nice, but to be like Him. He's saying, don't be nice, be kind. And to be kind, your actions and words must be building others up. They should not be divisive, but rather unifying. But we must choose to be kind before we actually will be kind. We must choose to be kind before we will actually be kind. Let us all reflect on this. Are we being nice people? Or are we imitating Christ in being kind? God is calling our church to more than just niceness. Niceness smiles at and or greets people in the sanctuary and on the street and forgets them as they leave. Kindness, on the other hand, cares for them beyond Sunday, beyond when we cross paths with them. It drives us to visit, to call, to serve, to show radical, unconditional, Christ-filled hospitality to those we cross paths with. Throughout this series, we'll commit to being kind, joyful, peaceful, and loving together. This week, I challenge each and every one of you to commit to doing something kind for your neighbors. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we just thank you for this opportunity to be challenged by you. Lord, too often we're putting on the smiley face and pretending that everything is a-okay and being nice to others, when inside we hold all sorts of hateful things, deceitful things, dark things toward other people. Lord, you've called us to not masquerade around by being nice and with being nice, but to actually be kind, to move from putting on a smile to embodying the smile, to wearing our love of you and our love of neighbor on our sleeves and actually engaging with others in a way that is kind, not just nice. So Lord, let us rise up to the challenge. Let us seek to do kind things, not just this week, but in all weeks. Let us be a person who is kind rather than just nice. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, friends, I'd like to to thank you for tuning in. I just got back from a two-week vacation, so the previous 2 weeks I recorded ahead of time, obviously, and just scheduled them to be published. So this is my first week back from vacation, and it is great to be back. Really looking forward to this series, and hope you'll tune into it next week. If you would like, you don't have to, but if you are going to take the challenge seriously, and I hope each and every one of you will, and you want to comment something you did nice on your during the week, I would love to read those, because I think that, you know, that is important, that we take these challenges seriously and that we begin to more and more live Christ out in our lives. And it would encourage me to read them, and maybe it would encourage you to share them. If you don't feel comfortable sharing them, you don't have to, but I still challenge you to be nice to your neighbors. Do something kind for your neighbors, which is nice, but don't just be nice. Do something kind for your neighbors, and whether you share it or not, and the Lord will certainly bless that. So, again, friends, I'd like to invite you to tune in next week, and also check out the links in our episode notes. The links lead to ways in which you can support us. For instance, you can go support us on Life-Giving Water, our Life-Giving Water swag store, where you can purchase things, and the proceeds to that go to support this podcast. You can support this podcast by going on to whatever platform you listen to this on and rating it and leaving a review, specifically on iTunes. That bumps us up and makes us more noticeable by others who are searching for podcasts, and gets the good news out. So that you can do that. You can check out the Party on John cast and other links in there as well. But as always, friends, I would like to remind you that you are richly blessed, so that you may be a blessing to others. Go in peace.